This is VK6ARN News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi, this is VK6FCRC Clinton, and thanks for tuning in to this edition of News West for the 18th of June 2023. Now over to VK6POP Bob.
We've received advice from Wayne VK6 Fox Tango that the funeral of his son Greg VK6 Lima Hotel, Silent Key, is at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, the 20th of June at Simplicity Funerals, 138 3rd Avenue in Kelmscott. There will be a live stream of the funeral, and Wayne said that he'll advise us of the link when it's available, and we'll distribute that via the usual amateur radio media. So that's Tuesday, that's the day after tomorrow, 2 p.m. at Simplicity Funerals, 138 3rd Avenue, Kelmscott. And let's send him off with some love and respect.
From Rob, VK6LD. The Southern Electronics Group is pleased to announce the long-awaited next Katanning Ham Feast, which is on Monday the 26th of June 2023. For those of you who haven't been before, the Katanning Ham Feast is a pub lunch for radio enthusiasts held at the Royal Exchange Hotel in Austral Terrace, Katanning. The food's great, drinks are cold, and the company's excellent. YLs, XYLs and partners are all very welcome. The start time's 11:30 a.m. There's a legendary Ham Feast raffle, which is also held on the day with some great prizes to be won. For those coming from Albany, Mount Barker, Katanning, Perth, or most other places, Katanning can be reached in 2 to 3 hours travel time. It's preferred that you pre-order your meals to help the chef have sufficient supplies on hand and to prepare and deliver the meals in a timely manner on the day. Rob's attached the Royal Exchange's menu to his email to the WA Hams list, and it's also on the hotel's website. Meals can be selected on the day, but there are no guarantees if not pre-ordered. First important point, if you're attending, please email Rob, vk6ld@outlook.com, vk6ld@outlook.com, with your meal choices and to confirm your attendance, and Rob can prepare a spreadsheet for the chef. Please also have your orders back to Rob by 8 a.m. Tuesday the 20th of June 2023. That email address again is vk6ld@outlook.com. Second important point, when you arrive on the Ham Feast day, please attend at the bar. Let the staff know your call sign and name, and they'll take payment for your meal. Third important point, Rob has an amateur who can't drive because of recent surgery, but would very much like to come to the Ham Feast. He lives in the Eden Hill area, that's between Morley and Bassendean, and is happy to share petrol costs and keep company on the drive. Please contact Rob if you can help him out. The chef is aiming to serve meals between midday and 1 p.m, but with upwards of 45 people expected, this equates to one meal cooked and served every 90 seconds, so please be patient. Please RSVP and provide those meal preferences to Rob. Save the date in your calendar, Monday the 26th of June 2023, start time around 11:30 a.m, and he looks forward to seeing everybody there.
Hi, I'm Steve VK6SJ with this week's episode of Did You Know? Sharing a station between friends or at a club station is becoming more prevalent by the day. Council restrictions on mast heights, noise generated by cheap non-type approved devices, etc., are driving amateurs from the suburbs into less populated areas. This obviously has a cost, and a sharing of a station is a way many hams that can enjoy the hobby in the country from the comfort of their suburban shack. Most clubs in WA are also looking at or have already implemented a remote station for club members to use. The next issue is how to share the station amongst multiple users, especially once club members renew their relationship with DX Chasing once they have access to a good HF station. So, you listened to one of my first episodes and you've teamed up with some mates or talked the local club into building a remote station, and it's working well. This breathes new life into HF ham radio, and everyone wants to use it. Great, except now you've not only reduced costs, but you've also reduced airtime. The biggest cost in setting up a remote station is generally not the radio, It's the masts, power, shack, antennas, etc. So, just add more radios. Easy when you say it quickly. You can use antenna separation, but that means more masts, more antennas, more feeder cable, and more complicated antenna switching. And this is assuming you have the real estate. The cost of that second mast, even if you pick up a cheap one, the excavator, concrete, rebar, concrete, etc., can mount up to well over $10,000 pretty quickly. Well, more antennas and masts have to be good, right? Except that unless you have two sites in separate postcodes, you still can't operate them at the same time, given you have this limitation regardless. Why not separation by other means instead of physical distance? Filtering is a good choice in this instance, a good filter capable of at least 400 watts, and you want to be ready for our 1 to 1.5 kilowatt privileges, right? It's expensive by comparison to the smaller filters you place between the amplifier and radio, but compared to the costs of concrete, it's significantly cheaper. A high-powered filter will cost in the order of $700 a band, so for a standard station with Yagis on 10, 15 and 20 and dipoles for the DC bands, that price goes up to about $4,500. You can buy cheaper filters but that cope with around 100 watts, which you can place between a radio and amplifier. They work okay, however, are less effective if any of the transmitters are fed to an amplifier. If you're running a tri-band Yagi, which, let's face it, it's about 75% of the ham community, how do you manage the filtering without spending even more on antenna switching? A combiner allows multiple transmitters to transmit through a single antenna with no interference between the multiply connected transmitters. A combiner is similar to multiple filters with a common output. The filters not only allow specific bands to pass, but also prevent other bands from entering each leg of the filter. Combiners are often used in UHF and VHF repeater sites for the same purpose, but there are filters available for HF as well. There are a few filter brands around with good reputations. For low power, Junestar's one, Array Solutions is another. There's also an Australian manufacturer, VK Amps, that has a very reasonably priced 8-band filter, but it needs to be installed in a box as it's sold as a PCB kit. For higher power applications, 403A have great filters and combiners, Wimo also, and there are a few others around as well. Once you've got filtering sorted, now we need to be able to share those amongst your two transceivers. Easiest way to do this is by using an automated antenna switching system. As a radio changes frequency, it sends band information to the switch to change the antenna appropriately. That antenna has the appropriate bandpass filter for that antenna, and should the other radio select the same band, the first thing that will happen is that the radio goes quiet, no antenna connected, and the switch provides sufficient isolation not to interfere or damage the other receiver. The best one I know of is the 403A Antenna Genius 8x2 switch. It can handle at least up to 1.5 kilowatts and allows two transceivers to select any of eight antennas. And it's LAN connected, so you can allow an app or most major manufacturer radios to automatically select the appropriate antenna. Well, thanks for listening. This is Steve, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know?
There was a good turnout at the online meeting with the insurance broker that was arranged and conducted by the Wireless Institute. I had problems connecting and arrived late in the meeting. That's another story. However, the gist of it was that the broker fielded a lot of questions. It was clear to me that many of us had little understanding of the nature of the insurance cover previously offered by the WIA in recent years. The Wireless Institute's president said that in past years, the Institute had been behaving like an insurance broker and this year broke away from previous practice, especially after discovering that the public liability insurance actually excluded club members. That's right. If your mast fell on a member's head, the club insurance provided no cover for the member, so that had to be remedied. We've been fortunate that in all those years no claim has been made against that policy. It was also stated that the broker and the insurer were on a steep learning curve in taking on amateur radio, and that it will take a while to fine-tune it further. So that means we need to keep asking questions and seeking clarifications, but please, 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 Read the insurance schedule, or the PDS, whatever you want to call it, before you ask the questions. It was obviously by looking at some of the remarks in the chat box during the video conference that some people haven't even read the back of a cereal packet, let alone an insurance schedule. Although your club should pursue its own questions, WA Amateur Radio News is drafting a set of questions to the broker and will make the responses known when they are received. We'd like to hear your insurance story. Send it to us at newswest@vk6.net.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6 ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
An item from the WA VHF group about the rapidly approaching UHF VHF Field Day contest, just under a week to go. Last week, I talked about the WIA-sponsored UHF VHF Field Day, and I remarked that if you are a newly minted operator or just getting back into the hobby after a lapse, this would be a good one to do. Probably one of the most friendly in our hobby. So I hope that you've given it some thought. Assuming that you are in sync with last week's article, you have the essentials. Your rig, antenna and power supply, or multiples thereof. A copy of the rules. Please read them. A basic tool set and spare fuses just in case. I used to take everything but the kitchen sink. Not a good idea. Keep it simple. Other useful checkpoints. You have let other operators know that you will be taking part and to listen out for you on air. You have invited a friend, amateur or not, to assist you perhaps with spotting or logging. You know your Maidenhead locator grid reference. Information is available on the web or on a mobile phone app. You have reasonably accurate clock, because time needs to be recorded. Your locations are defined by your and your partner's Maidenhead locator references. This enables the contest manager to determine the distance between you both and assign points accordingly. And now to talk about logging. When you make a contact, the rules require you to record the QSO and to submit your log, which is your record of these contacts. The minimum you need for the UHF-VHF field day is to make a note of the date, time, call sign of your QSO partner, your partner's location, the contact serial number that you sent, the serial number that you received, and the frequency or band. Quite a mouthful, yes? Well, no, not really. And it all makes sense because it clearly identifies each end of the contact. Consider this hypothetical exchange with VK6HC, that's Ham College. I am VK6AKR, operating from Maidenhead location reference OF77VX, that's Oscar Fox 77 Victor X-ray, and Ham College is at Oscar Fox 77 X-ray Visky. The serial numbers are incremented with each contact. Look carefully at the rules. So, partway through the contest. CQ contest, CQ contest, UHF, VHF field day, VK6AKR listening. VK6AKR, this is VK6HC. My number to you is 59014. My locator is Oscar Fox 77 X-ray Whiskey. VK6HC, thank you for the 59014 and Oscar Fox 77 X-ray Whiskey. My number to you is 59017. My locator is Oscar Fox 77 Victor X-ray, and I have the time at 0345 UTC. VK6AKR, thank you for the 59017 and the Oscar Fox 77 Victor X-ray, and confirm 0345 UTC. Good luck in the contest, 73 VK6HC. VK6HC, thanks for the contact and good luck in the contest, 73 VK6AKR. The exchange format is not set in stone, but the idea is to exchange enough information and to confirm it to identify the contacts at both ends. I generally also include the time just to be sure, as in the above example. Oftentimes, I use the phonetic alphabet rather than just plain letters, at least for the first use of call signs, because once you know the call sign, phonetics become redundant. There was no need to mention in the exchange the band or frequency. After all, we are in contact, and thus we both know that information. But it needs to be recorded. If noise hinders your understanding of any information heard, simply ask for a repeat. VK6HC, can you repeat your number, please? VK6AKR, my number is 59014. 59014, VK6HC. By the way, the 59 in the serial number is a signal report. Traditionally, we use 59, meaning excellent readability and signal strength. Even if you can only just hear what is being said, we tend to use 59. Some operators will offer you an honest report with less than ideal reception conditions. Make sure that you record what you have been sent in the log, because these entries must match for the log to be valid, and for the QSO to be valid. What to use for logging? Many operators use a computer program such as VK Contest Logger on a laptop and log live. Unfortunately, the author of VK Contest Logger has become a silent key, and thus updates will not be available, but it is still useful. There are many logging programs out there, and some contests allow submission on an Excel spreadsheet. Read the rules, as they may change. In the contest, I use pencil and paper and transcribe later into VKCL or a similar program. That process suits the way my aging brain works. Hi-hi. As I said last week, if you are a member of a club, talk with your fellow club members. They should be able to help you get started with logging or move to another logging program if what you are using is proving difficult. There are loggers available for smartphones too, but for my comfort, a pencil and paper takes a lot of beating, and there are no batteries to go flat in the middle of a contest. Spotting. If you have a co-conspirator, hi-hi, even an unlicensed person, they can spot or search for stations on air using a receiver. Searching perhaps the same band, but a few kilohertz up or down from where you are. Then you can QSY, change frequency, and capture those operators too into your logs. Look out for the VK6 list of suggested calling frequencies to get you started. They are on the VK6.net website. Click on the Contests tab. Finally, submit your log by the stated cut-off date. Not only for your satisfaction, but also to enable your QSO partners to have the benefit of those QSOs credited to them. One QSO or hundreds, submit your log on time. I really hope that I have whet your appetite and that we will have more operators here in VK6 going on air. Let's punch above our weight. And if you make a mistake, amateur radio is a friendly hobby. Others will offer assistance and get you back on the correct tack again. Thanks for listening. And 73 from Dennis, VK6AKR.
Hi, this is Clinton, VK6FCIC, back with you. And News West received this from the ACMA in our inbox. News West received an update from the ACMA, dated the 16th of June 2023. ACMA extends Norfolk Island Regional Council's community broadcasting licence. The ACMA has decided to extend the period of Norfolk Island Regional Council's NIRC community broadcasting licence by a further 2 years to the 16th of June 2025. This will enable the service to continue while ACMA continues an application by NIRC to approve the transfer of its existing licence to Norfolk Island Radio Limited. NIRC has been providing community radio service to Norfolk Island under the call sign VLNI under the Broadcasting Services Act 1992 since June 2021. Prior to this date, broadcasting services on Norfolk Island were regulated under the Norfolk Island Broadcasting Act 2001, Norfolk Island. For more information on this, visit the ACMA at acma.gov.au.
WAG News. Hello from WAG, VK6RRG. Last Monday evening, we had the belated meeting due to the WA Day public holiday. With people in the hall, always a great catch-up opportunity, and of course, some members logging in online. A discussion was had about the state of various repeaters and the pathways towards various projects and rectifications. Look, repeaters don't look after themselves. They just don't. Colin, VK6ACT, is the current WAG technical officer. and he attempts to keep an overview of our repeater network and the status of each site and various parts of each site, so that we all know where we are and what needs doing. The next meeting will be on the first Monday of July. That's the 3rd of July. Of course, all information for WAG can be got from our website, www.warg.org.au, warg.org.au. Well, 73's from Mark, VK6FIVE, for WAG, VK6RRG.
Hi, this is Clinton, VK6FCSE, and I'd like to apologise for the audio in the WAG submission. It came into us in very poor quality, and I've done the best I can to improve it.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Good morning, this is Helpline for the 18th of June 2023. Sorry, I've been a little bit distracted with my wife's funeral arrangements for tomorrow, Midland Baron O'Day, and I've been otherwise occupied with that. Sorry about that, and if I haven't been paying you attention enough, but things do happen like this. Anyway, we'll press on with today's Helpline. Today I have from Mac, the mast that he has there, 18 metre triangular section, butt section mast, is taking up space in his residence. One heavy duty, two medium duty, and one light duty, all 215 millimetre cross section, comes complete with bottom mounting plate, top gizmo for the 50 millimetre tube, and bolts and nuts and things, but no guy wires. Asking 200, but willing to donate to a group that may need it and can prove worthwhile project for it. And if you're interested, please contact Mac. And he also has a 1960 Marconi signal generator model Tango Fox 1066 Bravo / 6, still sitting in his garage waiting to transport to the tip. That's going free, of course. If you want a signal generator, please contact Mac. His email address is vk6mike@iinet.net.au for uniform. Again, more slowly, vk6mike@iinet.net.au, and Mac's phone number 0417 977 765. Next item is from Tony, VK6 Charlie Victor. I think he still has a Harris Romeo 2368 military HF receiver. It's solid state, fully synthesized HF receiver with digital display, covers VLF, LF, medium frequency and HF, and from 10 kHz to 30 MHz in 1 Hertz resolution steps, and asking $950. It's fully functional, includes sensitivity tests. I'm not too sure what that means, but contact Tony. His email address, no, sorry, his phone number is 0419 961 399. His mobile again, 0419 961 399. And that's all I have for you for this week. Oh, sorry, we've got Don Truscott. His estate is still available from Stephen. If you would like a resistor, a capacitor, a valve, a steam engine, or anything you like between, please contact Stephen. His mobile number 0401804166. Too quick? Okay. 0401804166. That's Stephen for the Don Truscott estate. He's still got lots of gear there, valves and all sorts of things. So give him a call. This is VK6 X-Ray Victor. That's all for this week. Thank you once again. And I'll try to get some more work for me next week. Cheers. If you would like to give me a call, please do. The email address is vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com or roy.watkins@bigpond.com if that one doesn't work. Cheers. 73.
I'd like to thank all the volunteers, contributors and broadcasters each week, as without you it wouldn't be possible to produce the weekly news. Please remember to send your contributions into newswest@vk6.net before midday Fridays. Also, before I go, remember, News West is also available now as text on the vk6.net website. and I'm VK6FCRC. Please stand by after the audience for callbacks.